Well, we're going to go to Joshua, the 8th chapter tonight. That's where we're at. Last week we saw, after a defeat, that there was some things that needed to be taken care of, and we saw some correction that had to happen. And now that that's accomplished, we will see this week another victory. I was thinking about correction in our lives, you know, and that chapter 7, that was very harsh what we saw there. But it reminded me that the wages of sin, it says, is death. So what we deserve for our sin is death. And I'm glad that because of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's not our part anymore. But there is still correction that comes from our Father in our lives and is needful. And especially it's needful if we're going to go on in victory. The correction must come first, and then the victory will come. And we're going to see a great victory in this chapter. And also the other thing I want to notice in this chapter as we go through is, contrary to what they thought they should do when they went to Ai, God gave them some different instructions now that they're looking to Him for their guidance again. So let's start and let's read this whole chapter. It's a little bit longer, but I think we'll just get through this chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us, as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord's shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel. They all went that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it into a heap forever, which, by the way, is the meaning of the name Ai, into a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and the officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests and Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger as he that was born, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And so here we see a change. So I'm going to go back real quick to the sixth chapter. It was the seventh chapter I wanted to go to, wasn't it? Went back too far. The seventh chapter, and he says in, trying to decide how much of this to read. Verse 3 of this, after he sent the men to spy out Ai, it says, they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So this was their this was their idea of how to go up against Ai. And then after they have dealt with the sin that was in the camp, Now they're listening to the Lord. I mentioned that last time, you know, in that seventh chapter, that what we didn't see there was we didn't see Joshua talking to the Lord and getting his marching orders, if you will, from the Lord. But here we do. In fact, it starts right out in the first verse. The Lord said unto Joshua, and then he tells him, he says, go up against Ai. He says, and here's the big difference, by the way, because this is what God says. He says, see, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. So he says, I have given. And we see that in this chapter, that the difference here is that Joshua receives his directions from the Lord, and it's different. See, they thought, well, we'll just take a few people up there, and this will all be fast and quick and easy because there's not very many of them, and they were kind of a little confident in themselves. I think we need to be reminded often about that problem of being confident in ourselves. And especially it's true after we've come through some great victory. You know, the Lord gives us a great victory, and sometimes we're very quick to forget where the victory came from and become confident in ourselves again. And so we need to be reminded of this. And as I went through this chapter, one of the things, and one of the reasons I wanted to read through the whole chapter was You know, at the end, he reads the law there to him. He reads what Moses had said. And I don't want to turn back and read a lot, any of that stuff back there necessarily, but one of the things God told them is, he said, when you get there and you're increased because of what I have given you, be careful that you not get bold, you know, become bold in yourselves and forget about me. I totally paraphrase that, okay? That was a bunch of verses that Moses said in a much better way, but that's essentially what God said. And the point being that they needed to be reminded of this. And so when I read this chapter and I came to the end of the chapter and I saw Joshua had read to them, I think that's what Joshua was reading to them, was those words that say, don't forget. Because see, they'd have one great victory in Jericho. They had a defeat in Ai because they forgot to, they forgot obedience, first of all, and they forgot to seek the Lord. And then now they have another great victory, and there's certainly a danger that they will begin to feel like they now have, you know, they understand how this is done. See, okay, well, thank you, Lord, for those first two. I got it now, so I'll take it from here. You know, that's kind of how we get sometimes. And so a reminder is necessary, and we're just like this. We need to be reminded, which is why the Word of God is so important to us, and why we study these things as well, because these things that are written in the Old Testament, they're written for our instruction. We had that this morning. We had that thought this morning in our message this morning, but they're written for our instruction. And so as we read these, we want to take instruction from this. And so the Lord, by the way, a few things to notice here. One is, he doesn't do this the same way as Jericho. It's different. And you know, God doesn't always do everything the same way. And in each of our lives, he doesn't necessarily do things the same way. And so we need to rely on him. We need to trust in him. Because otherwise, we might think that there's one way and that's the way it is. And that's the way he's going to do it every time. And yet he changes how he does this. And why does he do that? Well, again, my personal opinion about that is God wants to make sure that it's understood and recognized that this is his hand. When you do it your own way, there's failure. But when you do it the way he says, even if it's strange, Jericho was kind of strange, then you know that it's God's way. And here there was a slightly different way of doing it. And another thing that changed here is God allowed them to take of the spoil. And in Jericho, they were not allowed to take of the spoil. And I've often thought about, you know, why are these things this way? And I have thoughts of my own, but you know, both of these things represent to us the world in different ways. And when we came to Jericho, we said, well, God made it pretty clear that, you know, those things were not to be taken. That was to be left alone. Now they come to Ai and he lets them take of the spoil. And one of the things that I thought about is, you know, we had a really good, we had some good thoughts this morning, some good lessons and so on this morning, but the things of the world, God wants us to not be held by those things and not to have our affections set on those things. But the truth is, we need some of the things that are in the world. We need a job. We need food. We need a place for shelter and so on. We need those things. And God knows about our need. And more importantly, God supplies our need. And so as I looked at these two things, I saw two different aspects. One is that idea that, well, you saw how Achan, he coveted that stuff. So one is that idea about, let's not get our affections set on these things. They're not of any value. We don't want to be held by them. And then we come to Ai, and I think the lesson here is, you know, God sometimes uses the things of the world to supply what we need. And let's understand that they come from him. See, none of this came from them. And this is the other thing that I was impressed with is from a victory that God gave them, so not their victory, not some great thing they did, they were enriched. They were blessed. And speaking naturally, they were blessed. I think spiritually, they obviously were blessed as well. But even in the natural, God gave them. Now, they needed some things. They needed the livestock because they needed food and so on. And they needed things. They had spent the last 40 years in the wilderness, and they're coming into this land, and God knows. And the point being that God supplies. And so he does things in different ways, but he wants us to learn some things by these. And so there are two lessons then in these two things. One is the things of the world are not for us to be grabbing hold of and being attached to, but the things of the world, sometimes we need them, and God provides what we need. So the method he comes up with here, he sends some to ambush the city, and I think this is quite clever of God, by the way. These people of Ai, so just like Israel had their confidence built up from Jericho, the people of Ai had their confidence built up from their previous encounter with Israel. Okay, so they're all like, those Israelites, everybody thought they were so great, but we ran them off. And so they're thinking they're pretty good. I'm almost certain that they were probably having a little bit of partying going on in that city there to show how great they were. And God uses that against them. So he sends his people, and they, instead of just coming up against them, and by the way, so just so everybody's certain about this, God could have just sent the people and they would have overrun Ai just like Jericho. But again, he uses different things. And one of the things we learn here is that pride in oneself can often lead to some bad things. And so the people in that city, they see Israel and they come out and they see him starting to turn and they say, oh yeah, we got him. We got him now. And now this, by the way, they would never do this. They would never just run out of their city and leave it open. They know better than that, but they're so emboldened by their previous victory that they just literally run out of the city after Israel and leave it wide open for Israel to come, for somebody to come in and take it. And of course, there were men laying in wait. So God uses, and to me, when I see this, I see a couple of things. One is, first of all, God has many ways of doing things. Secondly, he teaches us things as we go along. And sometimes in the victories and in the defeats as well, we learn some things, especially if we'll pay attention. And so this is just my opinion, okay? So you can take it for what it's worth. But I think God was actually making a little bit of a point to Israel here about that pride thing. See, this is what happens when you become prideful. When you become confident in yourself, you begin to do things that don't make any sense, and they lead to defeat. Well, in this case, it led to defeat for Ai, which is what we wanted to see, obviously. But God set this up, and so instead of Joshua and the men of war making a decision about how many were going to go and how it was going to be done, God did. God did, and it worked out just exactly the way he intended for it to work out. And so they take the city and they set it on fire. This is one of those things that always confuses me, I guess, because these cities were built an awful lot with stones and so on. And somehow they always managed to burn them down. There must just be enough stuff in there that's combustible to burn, but they always tend to burn them. And they tear them down. And there's nothing, the name Ai, it means it means a heap or a mass, just a pile. And that's what it ended up being, is just a pile of rubble. That's all that was left of Ai after they were done with it. So I see this, we come to Jericho and we see that the city was torn down. And we come to Ai and the city is burnt and turned into rubble, basically. I think both of these are lessons about, again, the value of the permanence of the things of the world. See, these cities represent permanence in a way. The children of Israel, they've been wandering in the wilderness, living in tents. These people are in fixed abodes made out of stones. And there's a there's a certain permanence to that. You know, if you think about that, well, that's, you know, that's a house and that's permanent. And I think God is trying to remind us a little bit about something about the lack of permanence of the things of this world. The children of Israel, they are going to live in this land, and yes, they are going to set up cities and so on. But again, as they come in and tear this down, if you will, it's a reminder to us that we need to be careful about thinking about the things of the world as being permanent, and that we're, you know, somehow we're going to keep them forever. Well, they're not permanent, and we're not going. We need to be, even if we dwell in houses, which we do. Dwell in houses. I don't think anybody here lives in a tent necessarily, but we live in houses. But we need to recognize that that's just a temporary thing that God has enabled for us to have while we're here, and not be really too attached to those things. A lot of people get really attached to their houses. That's a big thing. You see people, they lose their house, and it's such a big thing. And then you see other people, they lose their house and they say, it was just a house, it's replaceable. And they give the Lord the glory. Well, that's the way we want to be. We want to recognize all these things that we have. They're just temporary anyway. And the Lord is the one that gives, and the Lord is the one that takes away. I'm going to jump down a little ways into this chapter. So in verse 18 of this chapter, so as they're running from the men of Ai, verse 18, this one caught my attention as well, because they're running, and at some point, the Lord says to Joshua, okay, now stretch out your spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. So this act of obedience, in other words, Joshua waiting on the Lord. So when is the right time? What is the perfect timing for the Lord to bring victory? Only the Lord knows that timing. And it's good for us to be willing to wait on him and then to be obedient. So when it was the right time, the Lord says, stretch out the spear in your hand toward Ai, and I will give it into your hand. And Joshua does exactly that. And of course, as we know, since we've read this, that they were given a great victory that day. And so the Lord, again, is the one who is in control of this. And we need to be reminded of this over and over again. When we come into the battle, there are many battles. We heard a little bit about some warfare this morning. There are many battles. And all of our battles are fought by faith. And the weapons of our warfare, as Paul tells us, they're not carnal. They're mighty through the Holy Ghost. And so this battle that we're fighting, no matter what it is, you know, each one of us, the battle in our life might be different. The battle that you have might be different than the battle that I have or that someone else has. But each one of us, whatever that battle is that we're in, we need to be reminded that we need to trust in the Lord and that he will take as far as it needs to go and in the right time will set up the victory. And so we need to trust him for that. And I say that because oftentimes, if you're like me anyway, as you're in the middle of your trial, you're always looking to figure out how exactly am I going to get out of this thing. I think that's just kind of the way our old nature is, you know, this continuously like, how do I get out? How do I get out? And sometimes, you know, the Lord wants us to just come to that place where we just wait on him. I was reminded of, well, there's so many incidents in the scripture, but the children of Israel, they came to the Red Sea, and behind them was the army of Egypt, and they're trying to figure out, what do we do? In fact, they're panicked because we should have just stayed where we were. You know, that was their thinking. We were fine back there. We should have just stayed there. And the Lord says to him, he says, stand still. Stand still. And, you know, he wants them to quit being agitated about their whole situation so they can understand his deliverance, his victory. And sometimes, you know, the Lord, we're in the middle of that trial, and really the Lord's kind of waiting for us. He's waiting for us to stand still a minute so he can show us something, instead of trying continuously to try to figure out how we're going to make it out of that. And when we are obedient to him, when he says, turn and stretch out your spear, and you do that, then you find the victory, and you realize very clearly that the victory is his. The victory comes from him. And it's a great victory. This is a complete victory. Verse 22 says, at the end of that verse, it says, they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And in verse 24, it says, they made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field. This is a complete victory. Complete victory. This is the kind of victory that God gives. We saw a similar thing when they came to Jericho. When the victory comes from the Lord, it is a complete victory if we will be obedient. Reminded of a man named Saul who wasn't obedient. And because of that, his victory wasn't complete, was it? There was a victory that day, but it wasn't complete because he didn't obey. And, you know, we want a complete victory, so we want to be willing and yielded vessels so that we can listen and pay attention to what God is telling us, and then be obedient to whatever it is that he is leading us. And the victory will be complete. And in verse 25, again, it tells us all of the men of Ai were slain. Verse 26, Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. A very complete victory. And then the spoils come to them. You know, out of the victory that God gives us, he brings us the spoil, if you will, the blessings that come to us. I find it true that when we are not obedient to God, just like Saul. By the way, Saul took all the best cattle and the best sheep and so on, all the best. But it wasn't a complete victory. And that spoil that he took, it wasn't valuable to him, because it wasn't what God had intended. And, you know, we want to sometimes make our own blessing, if you will, out of these things. But how much better to let God bring a complete victory, and then he brings the blessing. And then it's a true blessing, and it's even better. We have to be reminded, because it's so easy to forget that God's blessings far exceed any that we can come up with, anything that we can get on our own. God's blessings far exceed that. This Ai was turned into a heap, a reminder to us that as we gain the victory over this world, over our enemy and the things of this world, they're just a heap. What did Paul say? He said, I count them even as dung. And that refers to a heap of dung, where the trash, if you will, was thrown out. That's what it becomes. It's just a heap. It's a pile. It's rubble. And that's okay, because God has something much better for us. We had a lot of thoughts on that this morning. What God has for us. Things that we can lay hold of as we are, again, obedient to God's word. Verse 30 of this chapter, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord. And I just was impressed about how all this went with what we had this morning from the Sunday school on, because in Sunday school we had a lot of thoughts about not being attached to the things of the world, not having our hearts caught by those things. And then we went on to have a message about gratefulness and thanksgiving. And man, those two things really go together really well. And so here I see this, all this thought about this victory over the world and over those things. And God gives the victory. And what does Joshua do? He builds an altar unto the Lord. What's the significance of that? Well, the altar was there to worship and to give thanks. That was the purpose. And it says here that he built the altar just as he was instructed to do. They used whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, I think it reminds us of this. When we come to worship the Lord, let's not bring any of our own works with us. How about that? See, there was Cain and there was Abel. One of them brought what God laid in front of him. The other brought the efforts of his own work. The altars that were to be built, they were to be built with stones that weren't the result of man's labor. And I think there's an indication here. God does not accept the efforts of the old creation. He only accepts the life of his son, Jesus Christ, the blood that was spilled. And so they built an altar unto the Lord. And I appreciate this thought. If you go back into the Old Testament further, you go to a man named Abram. And one of the things you find about him as he goes along his life is he builds a lot of altars. And I remember Dad giving a lesson on Abraham back when I was just very young. And one of the things I remember about that lesson, one of the things that stuck out to me is he comes to a point in Abraham's life and there was some defeat. And one of Dad's comments there was, the one thing we don't see in Abraham's life right here is an altar. There was a small chunk of his life, there, a small piece of his life, where he had some defeat, and he said there was no altar. Well, it's interesting, you know, the altar here, again, to me it speaks to us about worship and about gratitude, coming to the Lord, into the presence of the Lord. That's what the altar kind of speaks to us about. And they offered up, it says, burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings unto the Lord. And so there was a great expression of gratitude here, an expression and an acknowledgement that this victory came from the Lord. And so a reminder to us about gratitude. This is the month, you know, that we celebrate Thanksgiving. Frankly, God's people should be celebrating Thanksgiving all the time, but certainly we have a day set apart for kind of to remember that. And this is a good reminder to us to be thankful, to show our gratitude. We had such a good message on that this morning, how important it is for us to show our gratitude toward our Lord for what he has done and what he is doing. And then it says in verse 32, he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And as they stood there, he read in verse 34, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And as I read that, I was reminded about what Moses wrote about not forgetting the Lord when they came into this place and they began to prosper. And it occurred to me, you know, here they are. They're in their second victory now, coming into the land. And they're going to begin to prosper. And they need to be reminded. You know, we need the same thing. I've said this before. One of the things that we saw, certainly in Paraguay, was as we were there, it was a very poor country. And we saw a great number of God's people being prospered over time. Some of them greatly prospered. And really from just very poor people to some very good prosperity. And there's just two things that I can think of. There were some who took that prosperity and made it available to God. I'll tell on one particular person. He was a fairly young man back when I remembered, and he started a business, simple business, and he was very faithful to the Lord, and he was honest in his business, which was fairly rare down there a lot, and God prospered him. I mean, it just seemed like overnight he just really began to do well. And one of the things that he has done is he has provided the property and buildings and a whole bunch of other things that is now used for the youth camp and some worker camps. It's used a lot now for those kinds of things. And he provided that for the Lord. And so, and many, many other things. It's hard to even express all the things that he's done with his prosperity that God has given him because he recognized where it came from. And then there were others that we saw, and they prospered, and pretty soon you didn't see them anymore. They were so busy with their businesses that you didn't see them anymore. We need to be reminded continuously and take that to heart, to be reminded that as God prospers us in any way, in any shape, any form, to be reminded that it comes from Him. And we do well to, well, let's build our altar, if you will, and come with thanksgiving before Him. And remember that those things belong to Him. One of the things David, after he had gathered a lot of the things for the temple, he wasn't allowed to build it, but he gathered a lot. And he stands in the presence of the people, and he's thanking the Lord for being able to bring these things. And he says, "Of thine own have we given thee." And I thought that was an interesting attitude, an interesting thought that he had. "Of thine own have we given thee." And, you know, that's the attitude to be recognized. You know, if we've been blessed, and God does bless us, and I was trying to be careful to make sure people don't think that somehow we don't believe in people being prosperous. We're not against prosperity in any way. But if God prospers us, we need to recognize it belongs to Him and recognize where it comes from. Everything we have. And that goes in all aspects of our life, by the way, not just the money, but if we have good health, that comes from the Lord. If we have a roof over our head, that comes from the Lord. If we have whatever it is, all those things, they all come from Him. And we need to be reminded. I think that as Joshua reads this here, it's a reminder. Hey, here we are. God's brought us into this land, and He's beginning to prosper us. Let us not forget that it is His doing, and that He is the one that gets the glory for that. And that's all I have tonight on this chapter. Any questions or comments? Yes, Chuck. A second. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
There's a secular example of what you can see it happens in the battle here. A friend of mine coaches a little league basketball team, and his team is very good, and they have sometimes a problem with arrogance because many of the teams have beaten by wide margins. Mm-hmm. He has to constantly remind them that the next team, you can't assume it's going to be like that. You have to be prepared. Saul, you know, he was told to completely wipe out everything, and he didn't do so. Mm-hmm. If you're fumigating a building and you leave two cockroaches,
that's a good illustration.
And then you have to deal with it again.
Yeah.
So when he tells us to do something like that, it wasn't a figurative thing. It was a little thing.
Yeah, it was important. It was very important. Yeah. Yeah, in the next chapter, we're going to see another problem for Joshua that has a lot of good lessons for us. There's so many good lessons in this book of Joshua as God brings His people into the land. So much that we can learn from these things. Yeah.
And they were just the opposite of what it should have been, because that wasn't the way God chose to take them through.
Yeah.
In other words, they were smarter than God.
Mm-hmm. They thought they were.
Humanity is
after
dying.
Yeah.
You can eat more pride than sympathy.
Yeah. Pride. Pride makes us do some silly things sometimes.
Good reminder, and you didn't want to mind Matthew on how to be humble. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yes.
We don't put another scripture into practice. Romans 8:28. I'm not going to read it. We all know.
Yes.
Guilty of that.
You know, If we're down on our knees, then we don't have, we're not going to fall, are we? We need to spend time listening to the Lord. Yes.
Mm-hmm. There were 30,000 men that were moving in the night that if they were paying attention,
right,
they were having a watchman, and then it just, I don't know if you that can happen to us, they're not watchful.
Yes.
That 30,000 was copied that they moved.
Yeah.
I don't know how they should have done it.
They moved around the city. Yeah. Well, I think they were partying. That's my opinion. It's not scriptural, okay, but that's my opinion. They were having a party, and they were so full of themselves that they weren't paying attention to anything else. And we get that way sometimes, don't we? We get so kind of puffed up with ourselves that we don't pay attention to the things going on around us. And
we're destined sometimes. This we won. We don't even have to talk to the pastor, Lord, about this.
That's right. Yes. Yes, it is.
It's sad that we don't really thank the Lord for coming in super words I can't even think of, but something that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look out, everybody, because God let us have this, and we're going to come with it. And they weren't blaming the Lord, really, because they thought, well, if we made it once, we could make it again.
Make it again. That's right.
And God lets us come to experiences that will throw us right on our face. And of course, God's choice to fall on our knees.
Yes.
But sometimes, America has done this.
Mm-hmm.
One marvelous thing that God took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they soon forgot how it came about.
Yeah.
And we can't brag that we're any better than someone else because our own nature will take credit for everything.
Yeah.
They're allowed. And sometimes the Lord keeps reminding us, I did this.
Yes.
Did this for you.
Yes.
And we're up there, boy, I already got it all figured out. And we just like to skip the Lord. And pride cometh before fall.
Yeah. I know that in my job, I can tell you time and time again, seeing the Lord's hand very clearly. And yet still sometimes it comes to something and I begin to fret about how I'm going to work that one out, and I have to be reminded that I didn't work any of those previous ones out. God did, and so you know, it's part of the old creation, I guess, to just want to sometimes just really, you know, get our hands in things. But how much better, really, really better, to just be in dependence upon the Lord and let Him do it.
God
mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It is so hard. But we are all, I think we're all still learning, and you know what we're learning is step by step as we do that. Because I will admit that over the years I've learned some, and because I can look back and I can see God's hand and say, that's so much better than what I was thinking about doing. It worked out so much better than I would have done it. And
sometimes we stop and say, whoops.
Yeah. So, we must be reminded. And that's what God's Word is for. That's why we make such a big emphasis on the Word of God around here, because it's so important. Without it, what are we going to do? We need it to remind us continuously. Every day, we don't want to go months and weeks and whatever without it. We need continual reminders because the enemy is not taking the day off.
The enemy, it's him with pride.
Yes.
And the Holy
work.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to be better than God.
Absolutely.
He had all of his glory go to his head. Well, I understand he had a lot of glory.
Yeah. Pride. It's the one thing that keeps man from God is pride, and it's the one thing that keeps us from letting God show us great victories is our pride. So we need to fall on our knees, get our altar out, if you will, and don't go home and get a bunch of stones and make an altar, but our altars are anywhere. They're in our heart as we commune with our Lord. Yes. Before a fall, that's right. So preferably we should fall before that and fall before him. Fall before him, and that's where we should be.
I heard some young guys planning things like this. They said, well, we knew how to do that. We learned how to do it. Because, so next year, it's physically, all we have to do is just be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And our Father has a right to get that expression.
Yes, yes, amen.
Humanity. Even those that have been overcome over a lot of trials, Satan tried to keep status.
Sure.
That's the way you did it. Remember?
Yeah.
But he's the biggest liar there is.
He is. Amen.
Okay, I'll try it again.
Yeah.
We laugh sometimes at other people and turn around and
do the same thing. Yeah, we all need reminding, we all need to be dependent on the Lord, every one of us. And in that dependence, let's take our prayer request before him tonight. Yes.
Remember to pray for our veterans.
Yes, amen.